Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. If it has a score, we cover it more. From football to lacrosse, hockey to baseball, we've got what you want. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. Coming to you from beautiful, sunny YQR, Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. Boy, we got a lot of fun for you coming up this morning. Darren DuPont in studio with me, my Robin Quivers, and our Tuesday co-host Derek Myers on set as well. Rob Vanstone coming in from the Regina Leader Post, a Hall of Fame beat writer, columnist on the Saskatchewan Rough Riders as we get ready for the Riders and the Ticats Thursday in week one. We've got a ton of things to talk about. I've got my list in front of me. Of course, the Raptors last night couldn't finish the deal, couldn't close the deal. In game five last night of the NBA Finals, we're going to talk about the game itself. We're going to talk about the two Rider fans in row two. We're going to talk about Jurassic Park last night here in town, what it was like. Toronto fans booing, well, first cheering Kevin Durant's injury and then cheering him when he went off the court. People are upset that the people in Toronto were cheering the injury to Kevin Durant last night in game five. Guess what? People are stupid. News flash. Don't be one of those people. But we'll talk about that. We shouldn't be surprised. And more than anything, are you worried? Are you worried that the Raptors let the Warriors off the hook, literally off the end of the hook, and that they might end up losing this series now? So that Riders Ticats kickoff has been moved, but not as much as you think. Thursday will now kick off at 5 o'clock Saskatchewan time, Riders and Ticats from Tim Hortons Field, rather than the scheduled 5:30. Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final tonight. Who forgot about that? Everybody. St. Louis Blues at Boston Bruins tonight, 7 o'clock, and the Bruins favored to win on home ice. There's never been a Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final in Boston, ever. Tonight's the first. So some topics there. The Alouettes rant I went on yesterday is just now spreading across the province of Quebec. Just now, today, some guy shared it. I had to Google this, what he wrote. He wrote, "On plein dans la mi," about my rant on the Alouettes. Do you know what that means, guys?
I have no idea.
Bullseye in French. And Marcel Desjardins of the Ottawa Redblacks will be with us on Friday as we make this a CFL-wide show. And your comments, welcome on the Facebook feed as well. So anyways, guys, thanks for listening to my opening warm-up here in the warm-up. Gentlemen, Darren, your thoughts on, let's start with the Raptors last night and the whole scene. Did you go down to Jurassic Park?
You know what? I did not go to Jurassic Park. I was watching it on Instagram. It was great, actually. I was listening on my phone for the first half as I was out for a walk, and then I had to get to the TV to watch the second half. You know, the run they were on was outstanding. I didn't like the timeout call when they were on the run with 3 minutes to go. Kind of killed the momentum a little bit. But at the end of the day, you had one of your stars, Kyle Lowry, who's, we've got him hanging up here in the studio on the wall, had a chance to win the game, you know, at the end. And that would have been a historic moment. It would have been Jordan-esque, right, to hit that shot at the buzzer to win your first championship. Apparently there was a hand on the ball, so it didn't work out. I'm not worried, but I'm a little uncomfortable, though, about the Warriors getting back.
Should
in
be.
It.
All of Canada should be. By the way, I have to apologize. Nashville has corrected me. And I have to apologize to everybody. My world is in a state of flux. We have a severe health situation with a member of my family. When I'm not here, I'm at the hospital. And I can't leave the city, which is fine. I wanted to go to Calgary this weekend to watch Russell Brand coming in. He's doing a stand-up comedy benefit for the Fresh Start Recovery Center there for recovery from addiction. Can't get out of the city, so my days are a little mixed up. Tonight will be on. It's perfect night for In the Huddle to be on television at 7 o'clock. Marshall Hamilton, Abu, and I talking Riders 100% of the time. So I'm sorry, Game 7 tomorrow night. And thank you, Nashville, for cluing, and everybody else that's cluing me in here. Game 7 tomorrow. I'm a little out of sorts mentally right now. All right.
But that's what the group is here for, right?
Thank you for putting me on track. Thank you. Okay, Derek, Raptors talk.
Wasn't that Kyle Lowry shot from the exact same spot that Vince Carter missed the shot? That's becoming an infamous, notorious spot on the floor there at the Scotiabank now arena, the old ACC. I got no problem with that timeout. Nick Nurse explained it after the game that they were on. They'd expended so much energy to get back and get to that point. You lose those timeouts after the 3 minute mark. He just wanted to give his guys a rest. I mean, if you're pros, if you've got momentum, you should get momentum. They just got beat by the Splash Brothers last night. And let's be honest, this is the fifth straight final. I mean, I don't think you got to throw any shade the Raptors' way. These guys are champions, and they're not just going to go out easily. Should Raptor Nation be worried? I don't know about worried, but I'm kind of with Darren. A little bit uncomfortable. Is it conceivable you're going to go and win three in a row at Oracle if you're the Raptors? That's a tall order. And then you get to game seven, and I don't know what you call squeezing the stick a bit tight in basketball, but certainly you have to assume that the baby dinosaurs would be feeling that a little bit.
The poll, by the way, I put up last night during the fourth quarter on our Twitter feed, at Rod Peterson Show. Is it weird to wear a Rider jersey to games where the Riders aren't playing? So far, 55% say, no, it's not strange at all to see those two guys, those two higher middle-aged guys wearing Rider jerseys in row two or three behind the Golden State bench. 45% say, yes, it's weird to wear Rider jerseys to other teams' games. I'm actually a free speech kind of guy. I'm a do what you want kind of guy, as long as you're not hurting anybody. So for them to show up in Toronto last night for game five of the NBA Finals in Rider jerseys. Do you want a photo of that, Clark, by the way? Well, everybody was watching the game, so they saw them.
Is it weird? Yes. Is it abnormal? Not at all.
Probably were a few Rider games here, or Rider jerseys here. That is unbelievable last night, by the way. Mosaic Stadium. That is unbelievable.
It's a hell of a showing.
Shout out to the leader Posta for providing that photo, by the way.
We thought there would only, and I said, you know, I was hoping 5,000 was kind of my number. I saw a couple of polls online. Will they get over 3,000? You had said 10,000.
I said minimum 10.
I think it was just under 14,000.
Yeah, it was just under 14,000. And to put that in context, that's bigger than the city of Estevan.
Like the city of Estevan showed up.
The whole city of Estevan showed up, basically. And here's the thing that really struck me about it. A, great idea that worked out. Yes, of course, there's going to be complainers that the beer lines were too long. They weren't ready for that many people. Totally
how
understand.
Do you know?
My kid, 16, who, you know, as a 16-year-old, it's hard to understand what they're interested in at all. She really wanted to go to it. She knew about it, a bunch of friends there. Unfortunately, she couldn't. She had, you know, volleyball to play last night and stuff like that. But even after, I said, do you want to go catch the second half? No, you know, I've kind of missed the fun. But it's engaging a group that's difficult to engage sometimes when we always talk about the, you know, the marketing and the advertising, the 18 to 34 group, the younger group is even harder, I think, sometimes, and it really engaged them. And that really speaks volumes to me about what this team and basketball is doing during this Raptors run across the country, and especially right here in Regina. We know there's great support for the Cougars men's and women's basketball teams, but to see that and to see these young kids so excited about it. I mean, do you think they're going to get 20,000 for Thursday now?
Who knows? But you not,
that's not
with,
an outside
not
number.
With the Riders playing.
But they're playing
ahead
the
of
Riders
it.
Game on the big screen as
I
well.
I don't. I would be surprised. And that's 6 hours of sitting there. I'd be surprised if it. But you know what? Who knows? You can never figure out people. One thing I've learned, you sure as hell can't change people. So if, what was the conservative estimate last night? 10 to 12,000. Can you keep the,
it was 13. They had a number. It was over 13.
Keep the comment up from Troy Koser. I want to read that in a minute, but, you never know. And of course people are coming out with this. Why don't they show up for a Rams game? What do the Rams get? 2000
ish,
2,500. Maybe you'll show up to watch a game on TV to watch it on TV. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but I can't explain it. And I was at the Pasqua Hospital late last night. I drove around the stadium. I saw thousands of people lined up to get in, but I wasn't going to go in there because, as I said, I don't like crowds. But I think everybody that was there had a great time. It was a beautiful night weather-wise. And, of course, they're flashing this all over the national news this morning. Look at Regina, everybody. 13,000 people showed up to watch it on TV. Yes, we're an entertainment-starved city. That's what it is.
So the NFL game wouldn't have worked here, I guess.
We're an entertainment-starved city.
That was just my
first
thought.
Let's just say what it is.
I think it's great.
13,000 people show up to watch it on TV. I think it's great, too.
Yeah.
And as far as wearing the Ryder jersey, which the poll is up now that's shown, the majority of people are saying, no, it's not weird to wear a Ryder jersey to another team's games. I don't think it's weird. I don't think it's wrong. Would I do it? No. Anyways, Troy writing it on the Facebook page. So glad I can watch this from my hospital bed. Kick ass, gents. On the greatest show going. Thank you, Troy. And I just ran into him this morning at the Robins in the lobby of the Pasqua Hospital. So, again, I apologize for being somewhat out of sorts mentally over the past couple of days as we deal with a family issue there. But, Troy, keep going, man. Keep fighting, and I know you will. You look great, by the way. You mentioned, what did you say? You mentioned something about stats or... No, it was the age demographic. So, Ryan,
targeting,
yeah. Our tech guy, one of the... Army that's on the other side of this wall here, sat down just before the program, got his laptop out. Derek, you were sitting on the sponsor's couch over there. Were you not fascinated with the analytics?
Well, I'm a dork like that. I love numbers. So, yeah. so anytime numbers come out, I'm in.
We had to get you off the sponsor's couch because it's full of sponsors today. And listen to this. So yesterday, the live audio stream at rodpeterson.com, listen live, crashed. Why? Because there were more than double the amount of listeners that we had budgeted for and paid for. So it crashed. So my wife said, who's probably watching this morning, she goes, well, that's too bad. That's terrible that it crashed. I said, no, it's not. That's like the hottest restaurant in town that's lined up for blocks to get in. So you can't get in. So you go home disappointed. You'll come back. We're serving the best food here. People couldn't get in because every seat was taken, basically is what it is. So our listeners have gone up from day one to day six, show six, 111,000%.
He's not mistaken.
And that's just the audio. That's just the audio. 111,924% increase from show one to show six. They're listening 32,000 minutes. That's what the listening was, right?
Yep.
We have 19 people from Norway who haven't missed a show. Oh, right. We got a Norway flag here, I think. Rod Peterson, huge in Norway, apparently. 19 people in Norway haven't missed a show.
Oofta.
They love it.
I thought, can we get a Tony Kornheiser Norway flag that I could? What is with Norway? Can you guys write in on Facebook and tell us, please, why you love the show in Norway? 19 people haven't missed a show.
Obviously an advanced state of intelligence in that country.
Well, they are.
I know, yeah.
For some reason, growing up in Milestone, they made fun of the Norwegians.
Were they from Lang? Like a lot of Norwegians in Lang or what? Probably what the case was.
Oh, and my guess is that it's the Winkler family. Rod Winkler, originally from Milestone. He's over in Norway, went to play hockey, never came back. My SJHL book, which has hit bestseller status, we shipped a ton to Norway. There's a lot of people that went over to play hockey in Europe and never came back. So they're fans of the Rod Peterson Show. Half of our audience yesterday was age 25 to 34. One half of the viewers were age 25 to 34. And 70% of people listening online are on either an iPhone or an iPad.
Of course.
Mobile.
Isn't Apple taking over the world?
Live listeners, 72% of the live audio are on an iPhone or iPad. Zinger writing in, Facebook page, Rod, I have a Packers helmet I will be shipping to the show to replace that ugly Seahawks helmet. I have no idea where the Seahawks helmet even came from.
Probably the John Ryan golf tournament.
And potentially Claire, who gave us the beautiful John Ryan. If he hadn't hit cult hero status here, actually, he was cult status.
Yeah.
Now he's hero status.
Yeah.
Right? From playing one home game, two games with the Riders.
Well, and he's also got his charity event coming up again this year. He continues to, and not just having a charity event and lots of people, but it gives directly back to youth football here in the province. So it's really tangible. It's giving back. It's completing the circle. And he's been doing it even before he came here. And I think it's going to be a smash success this year. I mean, it's, you know, with him coming back, I assume, and I haven't talked to anybody at the Rider store, but I assume the number nine jersey is probably
number one.
Yeah, it's flying. Even more so than the 19 G Brooks jersey that I saw they have there. Yeah.
Well, if you're not buying a John Ryan jersey, whose jersey are you buying?
Oof.
It's a good question. I mean, who would it be, right? I mean, you might be looking at a Caleros jersey, but that's tough. Do you look at one of the guys on defense? But you're just so worried that guys aren't going to stick around. And John Ryan, being a local guy from here, the stuff he did in the NFL, and now you talk about being back with the Riders, even if he's only here for a year, that jersey can still mean something to you and you can put it on the wall.
What about a 32 Hughes jersey? Go retro.
I always say go retro.
I'm a retro guy too. I got a Max Strong jersey.
I have a Fairholme 18 jersey. Exactly. You know that's never going to go out of style.
Never out of style.
Joseph Lozito writing in on the Facebook page, enjoying the show from New York. Binge watched all previous episodes yesterday. Best of luck, Rod. Thank you, Joe. Down in New York. I love all the shout outs from wherever you may be watching the program from. Guys, I'm getting back into golf, obviously, because I now have the
Atta
time.
Boy, I like this.
I got a question for you. Your business partner and my good friend Mike Lee has invited me to golf in his foursome in the John Ryan Golf Classic on June 27th.
Get in on it.
It's a 1:30 shotgun start. Mm-hmm. Well, I just realized we've added an extra television show in the huddle now on Thursdays. Used to always just be Tuesdays. So I said to him, we're taping the show 1 till 2 on that day. So if I show up a half an hour late for a golf tournament, is that okay? Can I just join them on their hole? Or is that taboo to the golf world?
No, you got to consider the guy you're golfing with.
He'd be fine.
He's all right with that. I would think you will be fine, especially because you have this pre-scheduled, you know, thing that he quite likes as well. So yeah, no, you will be fine.
It's a charity,
and I would say get out there.
It's a charity golf tournament. These things are 6.5 hour rounds. You're probably the second group off the hole anyway.
And you guys aren't going to be threatening to win the tournament with low score, so that does not matter.
A half hour later, you're probably only hitting your approach shot on the first hole, so you're not going to miss much.
You'll be fine.
Okay, good. Well, then I already told him that I can't make it because I'm taping this show, so I got to text him back and say, Mike, who's probably watching right now from Toronto, if you go to rodpeterson.com and you see the Raptors story on there, Mike Lee took the photo from like the fourth row.
Yeah, incredible seats.
On the floor.
Incredible seats.
That's what happens when you own an oil company.
I talked to his wife this morning. She was headed out golfing and she said they had an incredible experience. He's on his way home today. So I can't wait to get together with him. We usually golf once a week together to hear his stories down there. Because not only was he at that, he went to a Jays game and the Robbie Alomar golf tournament.
Wow.
So it was a package I think he bought at the Red Sox dinner.
Life is good for Mike Lee. Donald Mitchell from the Royal Canadian Navy, our good friend Don, says, I'll find out how good the Wi-Fi is on the Via Rail train on Thursday as I listen to your show on the way to Hamilton. Great show, guys. Go Blues tonight. Well, as I found out, it's not tonight. It's tomorrow. So you'll be able to watch that, Don. But yeah, well, here's the thing. If you can't get the live video streaming on the Via Rail train, you can always listen online. What, it's like 5% of the data, right?
It's nothing.
It's nothing, the guys tell me. So you can be one of the 70% of our listeners listening on your iPhone or your iPad. By the way, so the Riders and the CFL announced this morning that they are moving up the kickoff time as the Riders and Ticats Thursday night from 5:30 Sask time to 5 o'clock in order to accommodate Game 6 of the NBA Finals. So, Derek, your thoughts on that? When I first heard they were talking about moving the game because of Game 6 of the NBA Finals, I thought they were saying to Friday or to Wednesday or something. But no, just 30 minutes up.
Let's be clear. This was a TSN-mandated move. I don't care what anybody says. TSN has both the Riders game and the Raptors game that night. They had to rejig it so that they could have two huge viewing audiences. They know they're going to be both massive viewing audiences and accommodate them both without trying to split up the channels. That being said, it was the right move. It is a smart move. It is a good business decision move, and it's great for the fans. And, I mean, I know that the Ticats have come out and said at Tim Hortons Field, after the Riders-Ticats game, they'll be showing the Raptors game on the big screen there. So hoping to get some people to stick around. And same thing here at Mosaic. They're going to have the Rider game on the big screen and then the Raptors game on the big screen. Just makes sense.
Yeah, that's really cool. You know, that's something that, you know, has been lost in this, you know, Game 5 loss for the Raptors is the television implications, because Sportsnet's sitting there broadcasting the game last night thinking, we've got one of the greatest moments in Canadian sports history on our network, and the shot misses. And with that missed shot, now that moment goes to TSN for game six. And TSN now, because the rights are set that they go back and forth from TSN to Sportsnet. Mm-hmm. Sportsnet's got like a home court advantage. They get game seven, right? So now TSN's got this opportunity to have the monumental Canadian moment on their network. And Sportsnet has to sit back watching. And are they hoping it goes to game seven?
Oh, I'm sure they are. Yeah. I've been watching on ABC, to tell you the truth.
As have I.
I'm not
Mike Breen.
I'm not a big fan of... Yeah, and here's why. I get it. The home announcer, and he's a Raptors guy. He's not a national guy. I get that they should be a homer. I want that in my announcers. You know, when I listen to Paul Allen from the Vikings, and you know, I want that. But I'm not a Raptors fan. I'm a basketball fan, and I'm part of this national kind of... I'm not all in on the Raptors, but I kind of am enjoying the run. I want less homerism in my call, and that's just me. I get it. And that's why I flip over to the American one, which that one is certainly slighted towards giving favor to the Golden State Warriors. There's no question about that, but I just have enjoyed that call more.
I've been watching ABC as well. They show Drake far less.
Oh, like you,
the only way you see Drake in the ABC ESPN broadcast is if he's in the background of a cutaway shot.
I agree.
But it's not like Sportsnet, who's following Drake up and down.
Look at the Drake cam, I'm sure.
It seems like they have the Drake
cam. It's like when they used to do that with primetime, Deion Sanders.
Too, yeah. Couple things on that. 1 minute, Clark's telling me before we go to a commercial. On the network topic... I wondered if the CFL would be upset with my rant on the Alouettes yesterday. I wondered if they would have a problem with it. I'm sure they do.
They might. They should probably have some problems with the Alouettes themselves.
Well, it should be with the Alouettes. This is what I was thinking last night. What I said was my beliefs on the Alouettes, and what I believe is the truth. I'm trying to be your friend by being honest. We need the friend that says you look fat in those pants. Don't we all want that, friend? Like, when you're walking around Buffalo Days and you see the person walking with their gut hanging out the bottom of their T-shirt, like, we often turn to each other and go, don't they have friends? You want that friend that's going to tell you you look fat in those pants instead of being afraid to hurt your feelings. Like, for instance, do you love Sportsnet, CFL, because they don't talk about you at all? Is that what you'd rather have? It's not always going to be 100% favorable publicity. Why have you guys just gone deathly silent over there on the set?
Waiting for the hot take, waiting for the venom to be spit.
No, I don't want to be that guy that's on your television or on your iPad ranting and raving and spitting every day, because that would seem contrived.
Mike Francesa?
Yeah, I don't want to be that guy. But what I said with the Alouettes and what I said with the pimp rant and any of the other rants I have, they were all natural and organic. But my point is, don't be mad at me for saying you look fat in those pants. I'm doing it as a favor. Don't we need those friends?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I agree. But not everybody wants to be told that they look fat in the pants. Some people really think that those pants look good on them.
It sounds good. In theory, it sounds really good. You know, you want somebody to be honest with you and, you know, tell you what you're good at, what you're not good at, that you look fat in those pants, to look out for you. You got a little piece of parsley in your teeth. But we don't always know. I don't know that we can always handle it when it actually happens.
No. Like, there's
the truth
who
hurts.
Who are you to tell me that I look bad?
There's plenty of 45-year-old guys out there who you're like, maybe you should try to stop appealing to the 20-something-year-old gal. And dress for your age.
Yeah.
Don't be the guy.
Take off the white sunglasses.
You're not the skinny jeans guy.
No, but we've all seen the people of Buffalo Days, like in the purple sweatpants and the T-shirt. And their belly's just sticking out by about 4 inches. And it's like, am I going to say something? But I'm not their friend. You wish that they would have a friend that would say, pull up your pants. And we're telling the Alouettes to pull up their pants. When we come back, Adam Brooks will be joining us. Rob Vanstone from the Leader Post coming in as well. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
Around the city? Yep, that's Sleek. Those sweet looking graphics on businesses, buses, and billboards. Sleek, sleek, sleek. Basically, if you want to go big, you go with Sleek Signs. SleekSigns.com.
Kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Rod Peterson Show continues. So as we go live here on this Tuesday morning, our audio stream has crashed today because we have twice as many listeners as yesterday that crashed the stream. So you're on it, right, Darren? You're running around?
Yeah.
They're trying to fix it. We can't. It's into the thousands and the thousands. Just hang on.
I find it interesting, and sorry I had to cut in, but I didn't realize that when you guys started producing this show that you have to talk to the provider, and actually they allot a number of
spots.
Spots. Yeah, I didn't realize that. Like,
and
I just assumed it was unlimited. So I think that's important for the listeners to know that this is, because it's the first week, it's kind of like last night at Mosaic with the Raptors game. They were expecting 5,000. You guys expected a certain number, and it's
been
ballooned,
four times.
And it's, yeah, and it's doubled from yesterday even. So it's a moving target to try and get the right amount of basically parking
stalls.
Things
are going very fast here right now. One, Kevin Glenn has just written us on Instagram and said, "You need to get me on the show." Kevin, check your Twitter DMs. We've been trying to get a hold of you for a week on Twitter. So, and why is the camera over there? Did a bomb go off in here?
They're trying to fix the audio.
They're trying to fix the audio and this, and now everything's happening. Do we have Adam Brooks of the Toronto Marlies with us on the video chat feed? All right. Brooksy, welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing? Sorry
Fantastic.
About my setup here.
Sorry, it's awesome. This
here,
is
in the car.
I know that you haven't spent a lot of time in the States yet, but this is kind of like Dan Patrick, and you're not old enough to know David Letterman. But we appreciate you being on so early in our time here on the Rod Peterson Show. And you're going to hear from Darren DuPont and Derek Myers in a moment. But for those that don't know, Adam Brooks, outstanding captain of the Regina Pats, of course, with that team that went to the WHL final, and now with the Marlies, who've had two great seasons, Brooksy, since you got there, and the talk is that you're going to be with the Toronto Maple Leafs as early as next season. But I just threw a lot of things at you. Let's just talk about this year's playoff for the Marlies and how great it was slash how tough it was.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. I think a lot of people expected us to probably not go as far as we did, especially coming off winning the Calder Cup. So I guess usually there's a fall off there with players going up to the NHL and players getting different opportunities after you go that far into the playoffs. So, you know, it was a season that I don't think anyone expected us to do what we did. But, you know, I think after you win and you develop that winning culture, you have a lot of hungry guys. And we were very fortunate to, you know, be led by Sheldon Keefe, who I think is the best coach in the AHL. And I think we surprised a lot of people in the league. So, it's been a lot of fun playing here the last 2 years. You know, it's been a couple short summers for me, especially coming off, you know, the WHL finals there. So that's why I'm just like this, going to go enjoy some golf finally. So,
of course, you're a hockey player and it's summertime. You're dressed exactly the way you should be. Darren's got some Leafs questions, but just before, can you tell me what Toronto's going through right now, Brooksy? You're there. You're in the vibe of Raptors mania. What's it been like? And did you go to the game last night? What's it like being in Toronto this week?
I didn't go to the game. Tickets are pretty insane right now and tough to get your hands on. So I didn't go, but yeah, the city's absolutely buzzing. I think one thing about playing in Toronto is, you know, the fan support is unbelievable. And, you know, especially the run that the Raptors have been on, the whole city is just electric. So, you know, I live downtown, so outside my window, you know, every night that there's a game, you know, you don't usually get a lot of sleep because there's a lot of yelling, a lot of partying going on. But,
oh, Brooks.
Go ahead. He's coming back. They tell
All right. We'll get him back here for a second, and I'm going to ask him about this. If you guys remember when he came to the Pats, he was small, undersized, what, a fourth-line player?
He was going to quit hockey.
I coached I was the celebrity coach for the blue and white game that year, and I remember him distinctly. Yeah, absolutely.
We don't have him back yet, do we?
You let us know, Clarkie, when you got him. You go ahead with your...
But when we've got him back, how he was able to get up to Toronto or up to the, you know, to be the captain of the Pats and lead the Western Hockey League in scoring and do those things that he did and lead him to, you know, the brink of the Memorial Cup to get right up to the WHL finals there in game six. And he was hurt during that run too. And now he goes to Toronto. He was signed by Toronto or drafted, and then he ends up working his way into the lineup, becomes one of the most productive players they had. He was one of the guys who led them in minutes in the last couple of seasons, and now they're touting him as a guy who could slide right into the fourth line next year. It's just been amazing watching this guy who's been kind of counted out every step of the way.
I, you know, it's funny, we see him there on the video feed and he's got a bit of a beard going, and I distinctly remember, you know, when he came in here, there wouldn't have been a hair on the kid's face. You know, he was so fresh-faced, a baby-faced, but there was a sense of the raw offensive talent. And I remember them, you know, he was going out, I think it ended up maybe even going into a shootout, and he was one of the guys that we put out there. There was another guy, short guy that they traded for the year before from Medicine Hat, number 13, I can't remember.
Raleigh Woods.
He was a funny kid. Anyways, but Brooksy goes out there, and there was something that you noticed about him, even at that young age. And it took him, as you mentioned, a couple years to kind of find his spot. But boy, when he did... He really, really took off.
I'm going to get into a sports update here. You guys let me know if we do have Adam Brooks with us in Toronto. Golden State Warriors sending the NBA Finals back to Oakland following a flurry of late three-pointers last night. The Warriors trailed by six with about 3 minutes to go until Steph Curry and Klay Thompson nailed three straight from beyond the arc to lead a 106-105 victory over the Raptors in Game 5 at Toronto. Raptors still lead the series 3-2, and of course, Game 6 goes Thursday night. The Riders-Ticats kickoff has been moved up 30 minutes to 5 p.m. SAS time to accommodate the viewers of Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Golden State, of course, had to overcome another injury to All-Star forward Kevin Durant. He hurt his Achilles with about 2 minutes gone in the second quarter of Game 5. His first game in over a month because of a calf injury. Durant grabbed the back of his leg before heading to the locker room and out of the arena. Toronto fans cheering the injury. I feel like we aren't done with that discussion just yet. The Edmonton Oilers continued a busy offseason with the promotion of one executive and the hiring of another. The Oilers announced CEO and vice chair Bob Nicholson will become chairman. They also confirmed the hiring of former Senators and Leafs executive Tom Anselmi as president, business operations and COO. The word I got from the hockey world yesterday is that by the time they're done in Edmonton, the only one left standing will be the great one.
What, his statue?
Potentially
the statue. Potentially.
They're cleaning house in Edmonton. The only one left will be Gretz.
Wayner was at the game last night, courtside. Of course
he saw
was.
That.
Of course he was.
They're sticking around, but they have no responsibilities on the hockey operations side. So that's interesting to see what that's all going to be and what's going to happen. But you're right. It was part of people's frustration is get rid of the old boys club and start moving forward. And I think they're taking steps to do that.
As a lifelong Oiler fan, I'll believe anything these days. Like, just give me anything that could be positive news.
First guest the show ever had was Gary Lawless of the Golden Knights. I'm still trying to zero in on who I'm going to cheer for. I'm leaning towards the Golden Knights more than anything. But
really?
Anyways, to the Facebook feed, is it not possible to have Luke Mullender on the show? Of course it's possible to have Luke on the show. As a matter of fact, we've invited Luke to be on the program. And he said once they get through these two road games to Hamilton and then to Ottawa, Luke Mullender will come in and grace us with his presence on the set, Canada's version of The Rock. I think it would be great for everybody to be on this show. Warren Woods politely declined. He pulled a Bo Levi Mitchell, Warren Woods did, politely declined. I think Woodsy, one, we invited Jamie Nye too. But I think there's something in their contracts there that they're not allowed to appear on other media entities.
Mine was. I mean, I had some of that in my contract when I was at Global because I had to work a bit of a deal to go on with you, of course, back in the birthing inception of you doing talk radio as opposed to just doing play-by-play. And, I was lucky enough to have that ability. And now, of course, works out great.
So glad to have you over here. We've got Adam Brooks. We've got Adam Brooks from his car in a parking lot in Toronto. Brooksy, welcome back.
Sorry about that. I got parked right by a cell phone tower. I thought this was going to work out well.
That's because you're on Manitoba Cell still. That's because you're on MTS.
Manitoba Cell.
You got the Leafs questions for Brooksy. Go ahead.
Yes. And it's actually questions coming from the Facebook feed, too. So it's a little bit of both. You know, we were just talking about it when we lost you there about, you know, you going to the Pats and then, you know, working your way up from the fourth line to being one of the top players in the league and then, you know, doing it all over again in Toronto. You know, have you been able to do that? What's the transition been like from junior to pro?
I think there's a lot of similarities, actually. Like when I went to Regina, I was probably undersized and a little bit small, and came from being one of the top guys in Bantam, so it was a little bit weird for me going up against 20-year-olds and 19-year-olds when I was that small. So it was something that took a little bit of adjusting, and I think the same thing with pro. You know, you go from being a top guy in junior, being a 20-year-old playing against 16 and 17-year-olds, and then, you have to go and play against grown men, who have families and kids. So it was definitely a tough adjustment for me. I think in both situations, I was very fortunate to, have a great coach and have a great coaching staff in general to kind of guide you and help you through those situations. And like I said before about Sheldon, I think he's one of the best coaches, and I think he has a lot of similarities that John had in Regina.
There was another question on the Facebook feed from Ty. He, and this leads into my next question, but he said, what player had the biggest impact on you, you know, when you had your coming out party after your first 2 years in the Western Hockey League? So first in the Western League, who's had the biggest impact?
The biggest impact, on me, I think, helping me through those things. I obviously lived with Colton Jomke when I was 16. He was always very close with me. Another guy was Morgan Klimchuk. And he was 17, 18. He was very mature for his age and, was put in the spotlight. He was going to be a first-round draft pick. And he would pull me aside and help me on little things all the time. And I came full circle this year. We were actually teammates again for a little bit. So, obviously guys like that. And then obviously the guys that you play with, Austin Wagner, me and him had a great time together in the Western League. And now he's flourishing in the NHL. So it's great to see, guys that help you, end up having good things happen to him. So.
And now, we see with Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews, they've kind of been attached to Patrick Marleau a little bit. He's kind of been the dad of that group. Who's been the guy that's kind of taken you under the wing in Toronto?
We have some, I don't want to say old guys, but older guys who are similar to that. We have Rich Kloon, who has been around for a while. Another guy is Chris Mueller. Every year it seems like he's at the top of the league in scoring. And, last year Ben Smith was very big for me as well. And, Vinny Liverdi. So, I've been fortunate with a lot.
Eddie, go.
That's what happens in Toronto. They're sucking all the data at Jurassic Park. There's no data for our...
I was just going to say to Adam Brooks, a Pats legend still loved out here in this part of the world, and clearly. We're just going to bring him back to say goodbye. Adam, thanks for that. And Pats legend still loved out here. Good luck in Toronto, and have the best summer you can, all right?
I'm sorry about this, guys. I obviously wanted this to go better, but, the connection doesn't seem to be agreeing with me. But thanks for having me on the show. Always great talking to you three. Thank you for everything when I was in Regina, and hopefully see you when I'm back.
Thank you, Brooksy. Appreciate it. We'll be here.
Yeah.
All right, Adam Brooks of the Toronto Marlies, and as Darren DuPont tells all his girlfriends, it's not you, it's me. So
I thought that was Costanza.
I'm sure it's our problem. Yeah, not Adam Brooks. But anyways, I think we need to get back around to a little CFL talk here. So Derek, you know, we kicked this around yesterday at length with Mike Abou-Meshrick and Marshall Hamilton. I feel good about this Ryder team going into the season. I think a lot of people do around here. What's your take coming out of training camp?
I don't know. I didn't see the game the other night. That's just a bone of contention with me and why they would keep that down. It was good to see the offense start to form some consistency, the first team offense. You know, they didn't really do much in Calgary. A lot of second teamers. But you go back to the green and white game. Zach Galeros was 1-for-10. Didn't look great. I thought he looked more poised, and I think that is a huge sign for this team. We're fairly certain that the defense is going to be okay. Is it going to drop off a bit? I'm making the assumption, yes. Not because of personnel and not a shot at Jason Shivers, but I just don't know. I don't know how he's going to call the game. And when you're following up a guy who's kind of like a Jedi master when it comes to defensive strategies and calling defensive games in Chris Jones, pretty big shoes to fill. But I don't think it's going to drop off a ton. But the offense, I mean, that was their Achilles heel last year. It was almost like if you could keep the offense off the field, they had a chance to win. But yeah, Calero showed well. I think some of the receivers are coming into their own. It's a pretty good core of receivers. You got some young guys. You got the Shaq Evanses out there. You got the Manny Arsenals when it comes to some experience. And Naaman Roosevelt, let's face it, he's still Naaman Roosevelt. Until somebody shows me that guy can't play anymore, he's a gamer. And he catches everything. And he is just such a solid professional. So I think they're going to be okay. They're going to run that ball with William Powell, and he looked just fine. So that, you know, that's going to be their big key. Can they move it? Can they put up a couple of touchdowns a game on offense? And I think they can be in the mix. Do I think they're going to compete for first in the division? No, I don't. But they certainly can be in the mix for that 2-3-4 spot, I think.
Yeah, William Powell's going to take a lot of that pressure off.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. For me, it's Naaman. I think he's the biggest key to this whole thing.
Stud.
I don't know, you know, that he had that big of a year last year. I think there needs to be that confidence. We saw it in the preseason game. I know it's only preseason, and some people are like, why are you celebrating so hard in the preseason or getting so excited? But confident Naaman is a good Naaman, and he was catching passes on second down. You need to have that guy.
Yes.
That Zach can go back and be like, okay, it's second down. I need 8. I need 6. I'm looking for Naaman. You can't just hope that you're going to have somebody open. You got to have a guy that you can force the ball to, and you know he's going to come down with it. That was big for me, second down conversions. And if Zach and Naaman are on that same wavelength, I think the Riders are in good shape offensively.
I was on the radio in Lloydminster this morning already, and the guys up there were asking me about the offense of this team, of course, and Stephen McAdoo and all the rest. And it's just, the season hasn't even kicked off yet, and I'm already annoyed about this Stephen McAdoo thing. I mean, so the Riders lost on Thursday night to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, which doesn't matter. It was 35-29. But because they went downfield a couple of times, and the crowd was going, ooh, because they threw a pass 20-plus yards, so what? Like, I don't understand. I can guarantee, after having been with that football team for 20 years, the coaches don't care that you're entertained, nor should they be. They aren't.
No, they're like, not paid to entertain.
If they play 18 games and win them all by scores of 5-4, they're happy. They're happy. And I know that they're saying last season, we won 12 games. That's what they're saying. I mean, the McAdoo stuff is ridiculous, and I'm really tired of it already. I'm glad that I don't have to defend it or go on the air and try to defend him, but I don't think he needs defending. It's 12 wins, and I'll say it again. I still think that if Zach Caleros had played in the playoff game, the Riders beat the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And I know what they say in Winnipeg. They're like, oh, don't say that. In 07, if Kevin Glenn had played, we'd have won. It's a bad argument. I get it. Doesn't mean I don't feel that Zach Caleros wouldn't have beaten them last year in the playoffs. So all of a sudden, you're talking about the Riders going to the West Final against Calgary with the McAdoo offense. I think they got a tiger by the tail Thursday night in Hamilton. I think that is a very tough matchup for the Rough Riders in week one. But Stephen McAdoo is not going to lose the game with any offensive system that he did or didn't cook up. It's a football game. It's not just about the offense. It's three phases. And I like what the Rough Riders have coming out of training camp where they stand today. It's not ideal that they go into the year without Brendan Labatt and without Solomon Alamimian, but because in week one, you would hope you're 100%, right? Health-wise, you would hope that.
Yep.
But they're not. But I think they're in as good a state as they can be. Am I going on too much about the McAdoo thing? I'm tired of it.
No, for me, Hamilton's a tough matchup. I have Hamilton, near the top of the East Division, maybe, challenging for first in the East.
I think they should.
And they should. It's a tough place for them to start. But I like this team starting on the road. I really do, because if there is any issues, you have to work out any kinks. You're not doing it in front of a home crowd that you're worried might turn on you, because, and turn on Zach. If for some reason they're not efficient. So it gives you a chance to work it out and be ready to go when you get at home to get this home crowd rolling, because that is your home, your advantage, your competitive advantage. You need to be rolling. So, yeah, get away, get things worked out. Get a win and come back home strong.
The McAdoo thing is real interesting. 2 years ago, I think the Riders either led or were right at the top of the league in touchdown passes. Last year, part of my belief is that was a group and a coaching staff that had been together a very long time. And I think the philosophy from a team standpoint was control the ball, grind. We're going to let our defense win games. That was as efficient a defense you've ever seen at scoring points, keeping other teams out of the end zone. And I really think that was the philosophy was offense, you're just here to grind and punish and eat up time. And if we get the odd points, that's going to work. I do believe there was, I don't want to say constraints, but it was within the team concept. It wasn't just this run and gun offense and the rest of the team's doing what they wanted. I think the overall plan was to grind. They didn't want to score quickly. That's not what the plan was, in my opinion. Will you see a change of philosophy this year? Maybe. You've got a different head coach. You've got a different defensive coordinator. Still guys that were on the staff. But you might see Craig Dickinson, want to press it a bit. I know he said not hucking and chucking, and that was his line, and that's the one that's going to stick here for a while, that they do still want to control it because they still do have a great defense, at least on paper. But I would be surprised if you see the exact same offensive philosophy as last year. I do think you will see them stretch it a bit more this year.
I just want to interject for one moment. I don't know who's running the Facebook string, if it's Clark or Ryan or somebody downstairs here at the Rod Peterson Show, but they've asked, where are you watching from? Where are you listening from? So Mike writes in and says he's listening in the Davidson area. Donna Berger says she's watching at Central Butte. Of course, we had Joe from New York earlier on. And our 19 listeners every day from Norway.
Do you speak any? We should learn some Norwegian.
No, I don't even know any Norwegian words whatsoever. And my mom is listening. My brother just texted me to tell me that, so thank you for listening, Mom. I love you. I'll see you after the show. From Dave. Oh, what do we got here? Beminov, is that a Russian? He's watching from Panoka, Alberta. And Scott Isbister is watching from Cochrane. Steven Sparksman from Calgary.
Wow.
Tyler Blanken writing from the Alfreds Warehouse.
Nice.
So thank you, Tyler. 1 in 10 of our viewers is from Alberta. And I'm trying to sort out in my own mind, is that Stamps fans, Eskimo fans, or Rider fans trapped in Alberta?
Expats.
Right. I'm trying to let us know. Brenda from Saskatoon. And Brenda, thank you for your longtime support. She always wants to know where In the Huddle is going to be when it's airing. So it's Wednesdays at 7 p.m. in Saskatoon, Brenda. Tuesdays and Thursdays on Access province-wide at 7 o'clock. Rob Johnston out in Indian Head. Yeah, so I love the check-ins. Maybe we'll do a check-in Tuesday. But I was so lost off the top of the show, I didn't even know what day it was.
Yeah, you were a little distraught there. You know, it's getting hard because, and I, didn't the Stanley Cup and didn't the NBA, didn't they used to just play every other day? Like, was that not just the case? Like, it's hard to keep track now. Now, 2 days in between games, like, I'm sorry, it's hard for me to keep interested when the weather is what it's like outside, when it's, there's so many other things going on and you got these big gaps, any momentum, you'll lose me.
I love this, by the way. So many topics flowing. Everything is happening, like we said earlier. Steven from Calgary. Sorry, I'm a Stamps fan. Starved for coverage. Conan, not a Rider fan, a Rod fan. Mike in Fort McMurray. a Rider fan stuck in Alberta. I just want to know, and this is the one thing, because I do have fans, not fans, friends with the Stampeders. More than just Mark Mueller, believe it or not. And I know this is a prevailing feeling within that Stampeder organization, talking with my friends there. It's just, they have had the Cadillac franchise for so long, and nobody in their town cares. Now, I shouldn't say nobody. John Huffnagel and I have had these conversations. Huff's like, our fans love you guys, just love us just as much as Rider fans love you guys. Huff has said that. He goes, the problem is there's only 24, 25,000 of them. That's Calgary's problem. Whereas Rider fans, the Rider Nation is millions of fans. And I know that, you know, some of their staff have said, and these are all rightful observations from the Stamps part is, look at your stadium and look at ours.
Oh.
And they're like, what do we got to do? What do we got to do here in Calgary? Do we even get a new stadium? Because they're second fiddle to the Flames all the time. Guy called me from Calgary the other day. He doesn't work for the Stamps, but he's connected to the Stamps. And he's like, turn on the radio in Calgary. June, July, August, Flames, 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 Flames. And it's like, put yourself in the shoes of the Stampeders or put yourself in the shoes of Bo Levi Mitchell. What do we got to do to get people excited here? What do they have to do?
You know what? I will. We love the CFL. We are in that group of people. Yep. But the CFL, to me, is very much Canadiana because it is a, I don't want to say it's a cult following, but it has its group of people. No more so than I saw the comments of one former CFL employee who was going on saying about Toronto. Well, you know, Toronto has won some major championships in the last number of years and have had huge viewing numbers. The Argonauts winning the Grey Cup and TFC winning MLS. And I thought, That is such the view of a person who loves and supports the CFL, as we do, and as probably a great number of people watching and listening to the show do. But outside of that, it doesn't really attract. To compare the Argos winning the Grey Cup to what the Raptors are doing right now, I mean, just television numbers alone. I mean, these numbers are crushing the Grey Cup, which is one of the go-to sporting events of the year.
Well, this is a generational thing that's going on in Toronto right now. Furthermore, Robert Anderson, great show, Rod, watching from Dubai.
Wow.
I'd love to get to Dubai
sometime.
I'd
like to go with you.
From Mike, Rider fan in St. Louis, Missouri. Needed something to follow in the summer of 2015 and became a Rider fan. Well, how do you like that? How do you like those apples?
2015.
You became a Rider fan in the summer of 2015? Oh. Are you a sadist?
Wow. What an introduction.
Right. They were on their way to going 8-9. The whole franchise blew up.
Was that 3-15?
That was the 3-15 season, yes. Okay. Scott Isbister, Calgary residents need to call into the Rod Peterson Show, especially Bo. This is becoming an emerging story. We will get Bo Levi Mitchell on this show.
He's your Matt Damon.
And I will offer a live apology to Bo Levi Mitchell. I've said some mean things. Now,
he's okay.
I'm not going to say I didn't mean them, but that's in the past.
If they can't get fans in Calgary with a guy like Bo Levi Mitchell, who is not only A, super talented, but B, puts himself out there. He's got charisma. He's not afraid to shy away from things. Like he's your textbook guy you should be marketing. He is fantastic. If you couldn't do it with John Cornish, similar guy.
You know what? That's a little of this whole thing about they're trying. I mean, you see the Stampeders when they're making a run. The Flames coaches are wearing Stamps hats,
right?
And when the Flames are making a run, the Stamps coaches and players are wearing Flames hats because they have the same. Like, they're really trying. It's similar here. Last night, 13,000 people show up at Mosaic Stadium to watch the Raptors on TV. Think about that for a second. But then you got the Rams going, what's it going to take? You can't make people do anything they don't want to do.
If they don't like apple pie.
It's very similar with the Argos.
Yeah,
like, I was on radio in Lloydminster this morning, and they said 13,000 at a Mosaic Stadium to watch the Raptors on TV. That's more than the Argos get.
True.
But it's true.
Truth.
It's true. So you can sit and all you can do is try your best, but you can't make people do what they don't want to do.
But market your product for the people that are there. and then let that spread. Don't always try and go outside and big picture. Market to who's there and let it build and build and build. That's what the Raptors have done. You know, they have built this out here. How many of those 13,000 watch regular season Raptors games? Not really.
Probably not that many.
But they let it build on its own. They didn't have to market it outside. They marketed it to Jurassic Park. You know, they sold it to the people that were there, you know, and they let it build and expand on its own naturally, organically.
Well, there's a little more to it even than that. What I was told was when the Raptors were junk, which quite frankly they were for 20 years, they were going out into the communities that the Leafs weren't going to and the Argos never even thought of going to. They were going out to speak in schools, which I believe is the best form of sports marketing. Grassroots, shake hands, meet your fans. What a novel concept. And the Raptors were doing that in the bad years to all the minorities, mm-hmm. all the new Canadians, establishing a fan base there. And then when they got good, look who was in the arena. Are you watching those games? Those aren't really the same faces as the Leaf games.
Oh, that is a melting pot. That is Canadiana. That's a snapshot.
So they did the work. That's my point. They did the work.
They started inside and let it grow. Instead of trying to go, well, we got to get women who are 22 years old who work as accountants, and then we're going to try and, you know, all this scattered approach. No, let it build from inside. As a kid, why did I become invested in the CFL? Because my dad, they marketed to him, who was a fan, who was Ronnie and George, and they kept him. Then that went on to me. He passed that on to me, and I became a fan. Now my kids, you know, my kids... It's harder right now to sell them on it, quite honestly, but I'm trying to pass that on. And if you lose me, then you've lost my kids. You've got to keep me interested so that my kids and my friends, and I want to go to the game and get $5 beers and $2 hot dogs or whatever the case is. But if you stop keeping your core people and start trying to worry about everybody else, I think that's where sometimes you fail.
So here's what I've learned in all of this, right, is that you put in the work, and if you do the work to find the people in your communities that are going to be interested, and you genuinely make a connection, you're going to have success. And then you take care of your people.
Yeah.
You can't forget about them right away. Your season ticket holders, your audience, while you're just spending all your dollars trying to find new ones, because residual income and passive income and sitting on a beach in Jamaica while you make all this money, that doesn't exist. That's fake news. That's winning the lottery. You have to continue to build relationships and maintain relationships.
Winning isn't enough. In some markets, winning isn't enough. It's not enough for the Argos. It's clearly not enough for the Stamps. Steven in Calgary says the media in Calgary doesn't cover the Stamps enough. If the media covers the team, it will increase the audience. Mm. There's got to be something to that.
I think introducing
your players to the fans. Those caravans, right? The Blue Jays came through Western Canada. The Raptors have never done that, I don't think. But the fans, they met that Blue Jay that day, and they remembered. And that's, by the way, where I'm riding this crest of for many years, going out to all these communities and doing these banquets and speaking. There was a reason behind it. Mm-hmm. So I know somebody in every single town in this province. And that's why when the opportunity came up to leave this province in the last 6 weeks, and Darren was intimately aware of where those places were, I panicked and kind of got fear. I'm like, I don't want to leave these people. Why would I leave Saskatchewan? I know these people. How can I leave these people? You know, and it's funny because Scott Barney, Humboldt Broncos coach and GM, sat in that chair the other day from Oshawa, Ontario, and he says, when are you going to take over Bob McGowan's show, Primetime Sports? And I said, I like it here. I don't want to leave. This is fun. And we're building something here now at the Rod Peterson Show. Why? They had their chance.
Did Jesus just leave his disciples and go looking for a new religion? No.
Why would I leave? That would be dumb. That would be stupid. Anyways, the anti-stupid, the opposite of stupid, is Rob Vanstone. And he will be in here after the break, right? We're all looking forward to that. It's the Rod Peterson Show on a Tuesday morning, live on Facebook and rodpeterson.com.
Your economic security does not lie in your job. It lies in your power to produce, to think, to learn, to create, to adapt. That is true financial independence. It's not merely having wealth. It's having the power to produce wealth. We are your power to produce wealth. We are your freedom to make your dreams your reality. We are your shield against uncertainty. We are your family's protector when you no longer can be. We are your assurance that the light you see at the end of the tunnel isn't a train. We are comfort, clarity, and peace of mind. We are your financial guardian angel. We are 2020 Wealth Management. We are all these things and more, and we welcome you. Come see us and prosper.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com. Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms.